Scholarship Zone. And whereas Everett Community College has collaborated with the City of Monroe and Monroe School District on the creation of specific community educational initiatives, now, therefore, I, Robert Zimmerman, Mayor of the City of Monroe, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby applaud Everett Community College and proudly proclaim October 8, 2013 as Everett Community College Day in Monroe in recognition of the college's expanded East County campus and a day of recognition for all who have attended the college and gone on to make an impact in their communities. And with that said, it's exciting to see how Everett Community College is growing here in the city. Great to be partnering with them. Secondly, I have a proclamation here with regards to domestic violence. And the subject matter is somewhat somber, but it is very important to understand what we face or what some face on a regular basis in our community and in this country. So with that, the proclamation. Whereas one in every four women will experience domestic violence during her lifetime, and whereas approximately 15.5 million children are exposed to domestic violence every year, and whereas when a family member is abused, it can have long-term damaging effects on the victim that also leaves a mark on family, friends, and the community at large. And whereas the problem of domestic violence is not confined to any group or groups of people, but crosses all economic, racial, gender, educational, religious, and societal barriers, and is sustained by societal indifferences. And whereas victims should have the help to find the compassion, comfort, and healing they need, and domestic abusers should be punished to the full extent of the law. And whereas victims of violence should have access to medical and legal services, counseling, transitional housing, and other supportive services so that they can escape the cycle of abuse. And whereas local programs, state coalitions, national organizations, and other agencies nationwide are committed to increasing public awareness of domestic violence and its prevalence and to eliminating it through prevention and education. And whereas important partnerships have been formed among criminal and juvenile justice agencies, healthcare providers, allied professionals, and victim services to assist victims of domestic violence and their families. And whereas domestic violence is intolerable, unacceptable, must be stopped, and deserves considerable public attention. Therefore, now, in recognition of the important work done by domestic violence programs and victims, service providers, in memory of Jehovah Ramirez Rodriguez, I, Robert G. Rick Zimmerman, Mayor of the City of Monroe, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2013 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Okay. Well, with that, we do have another presentation this evening. And that is by the Chamber of Commerce. We have Anique and Shelly here this evening. Not sure which or who or both is speaking. Both. Glad to have you. And welcome from the Chamber of Commerce. You'll be pushing the button and she'll be talking to you, right?
That is our plan. We hope
that is our plan.
They say it's never a good idea to try and get too technical at meetings, and we are looking tonight at using Explorer as our browser, and we are kind of now a little bit tech snobby in that we like to use Chrome or Firefox because it really works better with our site. So thank you so much for having us here tonight. Shelly is going to kind of be my wingman, as she always is, navigate us through. I really want to just acknowledge the support tonight from the Chamber of Adrian Taylor's joining us. He's on our board. Our President Megan Manning and Doug Hobbs as well. My husband Scott too is a big part of our team. I'm just really excited to come and talk to you guys about what we've done this year as in our DMO work. I'm a little bit bit nervous. This has been kind of a big deal, and I know you all are so supportive of the work that we do, so I really don't need to be, but I appreciate you hearing with us. I want to just kind of, before I talk about the DMO work that we've done for you this year, I just want to talk a little bit about the journey this year for the Chamber. The year isn't over yet, but we've been through quite a lot. And, you know, our best strategy as a Chamber this year has been not to focus on what we don't have, but to really focus on what we do. Build on their strengths and just keep finding partnerships that will help us, energize us, and move us forward. And it's been really successful for us so far this year. I've been with the Chamber a little bit more than a year. Can't believe it. Time really flies when you're working for the Chamber. This has been a really amazing year for us. We've just been so honored, though, to get the support that we have, especially on all the projects that we work with the city on. And the first through the year was the parade. And we made a lot of changes to the parade this year. We really could not have done it without the help of our park staff and our police department. We measured, we remeasured, we moved the parade stand, and we were able to open a new little vendor area. And that helped us inspire more partnerships for our local businesses and our nonprofits. And that was a huge success. We got about 8,000 people, and we were to the event, and we were able to almost double the number of entries from last year. So that was really an exciting thing for us. We also got to work with you guys on Music Fest, which was amazing. Who knew that the little concession stand at Lake Tai could transform into, you know, this rock star stage? It was really, we just kept hearing from more and more people about how impressed they were with that event. We were so happy to be able to be part of that. Getting ready to work with my second Light Up Monroe with the city, and we're really excited about that this year. That's such an important event, and Mayor, we have had such a great time with you last year, and we are just really looking forward to having a better Santa, better Coco, better attendance. We're going to kind of dial it down a little bit this year with no blind walk, but we really are just focused on bringing the kids and the community over to the lodge. We moved our offices a couple of times this year, and we are settled. I'll just let you know, we are settled over at the Mason's Lodge. They're very good to us. We enjoy the meeting space and the fireplace and the offices there, and it's been great to be able to stay in downtown in a fiscally responsible rent framework for us. So enough of what we've been doing as the Chamber. I really wanted to talk to you about our work as DMO. We have developed some really important tools this year. But our first thing that we did this year was to start with a strategic planning session. We really needed to kind of get ourselves focused on where were we going with as a Chamber, what were we planning to accomplish, who are our stakeholders, and how are we really going to manage tourism development for the city. How could we create and address tourism for Monroe with the face that it has today? Because we started getting lodging taxes about 15 years ago to do this work, and Monroe, the Monroe 15 years ago is quite different than the Monroe of today. So we collected our newly elected board, and we really went through the whole strategic planning process. And again, it was to capitalize on what's working now. We decided that it was best for us to step back from a lot of new event promotions and production and really focus on what was already happening for Monroe. It's really successful events that were driving overnights that the city was also working on, like the King of Wake, Tri-Monroe. So our strategy this year was really to start building those partnerships and to start aggressively reaching out to those event producers, finding out how can we help you get the word out about your event. We happen to have this new website, choosemonroe.com, and it's really designed to support those events producers. It is for visitors, but it's really a big function of it is to help events producers want to bring their events here to Monroe, because they're the professionals, they're the folks who do the best. They do the work that draws the tourists. So we kind of decided as a Chamber to take the back seat and to really go out and seek those profitable partnerships. partnerships that we're really working in. We made the cycle live at the end of the year. In January, it was really fully functional. And we were very quickly able, as the only dedicated visitor website for Sky Valley, you know, the Snohomish County, Snohomish City of Snohomish has a little downtown website for their visitors, but we're really kind of a different kind of animal in that we represent all of Monroe and then many of the different outlying assets. And so we were quickly able to build traffic to the site and kind of corner the market. So there was a lot, thank you, Mayor, we were able to clean up our online environment and get a lot of sort of dead websites that had been previous attempts off the internet. And we were able to really start to capture the eyeballs of the visitors. It's really important for us here. We don't have the same, and I say it's a good benefit. We are not blended in like Seattle with Lynnwood and Edmonds and Everett. They're all kind of, it's hard to know where the edges, where things start and stop. But out here in Monroe, we really are separate. We're our own entity. And some people might think that that's a bad thing for tourism. I happen to think that it's a really cool thing. I kind of look at us as more of sort of the Harrison Ford of Snohomish County. I mean, we really get dirty, we have adventures, we just, you know, we're really sort of very resourceful. We really have to stand alone, and I'm really proud of how we are developing our own voice. And I'll tell you, I love the folks who do tourism in Lynnwood, but they call themselves Seattle North. And as long as I'm here, we will never call ourselves Seattle East. So we really wanted to build a lasting legacy for Monroe, and we need to do that through building these tourism partnerships with different stakeholders. And of course, you know, as we did our stakeholder inventory, we realized that it was event producers in all their forms. I mean, folks who are doing events every weekend at the Speedway, as well as those who come from Florida, as well as those who come from Wisconsin for baseball tournaments, all those different things. But we really needed to also be focusing on the city. How do we leverage those dollars that are already being invested? You know, how do we extend those dollars when Mike is working with Tri-Monroe and King of Wake? How do we do that? That was a really important part of our strategy in setting up this website. And we felt like we were able to really give some good promotions. And we've changed, we had dates on here. We're in the process of changing seasonally here. But I wanted to just let you see really the focus is on what's happening, the photos scrolling, and we had all of our major events up there throughout the season. Okay, so this is not my best way to read off notes, but it's also not good to shoot from the hip right now. So we know that ultimately we're focused on those event and group markets and those producers in particular, making sure that they get what they need, wanting them to come and have their events here, continue to have them, and to inspire new event producers to come and support our existing, but also get the information to the visitors while they're here. So this is kind of a big project for us to undertake with this website. It's mobile ready, so folks can, you can just pull it up on your phone. You don't have to download an app. State of Washington, you have to actually download an app, just saying. It's already formatted for that. And you can like dial right through to whatever place you find on Choose Monroe. And I wanted to show you guys, it's so exciting, because Lake Tai, you know, has got it going on. Lake Tai is like the jewel of our community here. And we have, Lake Tai has its own little mini website on Choose Monroe. And it has lots of photos in there, and it actually has its own website because it's connected to the city's website where you can actually book. And so I'm probably going a little fast for Shelley, but all of our parks have their own. They all have their own little mini websites, and these are not just links. These are little mini websites, and every single attraction and every course member as well gets their own little mini website. And we are really proud of that because we don't just have to have just the link. That's what all the other folks have, is just the link to these sites. So we actually are able to feature information about the park itself, photos. website has a share button where you can share on Facebook and Twitter. We have 300. We have 300, and you can... So I don't know anybody personally who has 300 social media channels, but they're out there, and all they have to do, they can Pinterest, Tumblr, any of them, then they can share directly out to their contacts about every site and every place on Choose Monroe, which is, we'd like to get people to come and like your page, but what we all really want is people to be talking with their contacts about the content that they found. So that's pretty cool. So we will go through, now we can go up to the website, and just so you were able to connect to Lake Tai's little section. So if one of somebody wants to book at Lake Tai, they can. Which is so cool.
That's cool.
And Shell, if you go up to visitors on the tab up there, and you just click that, you should go right back
to Choose Monroe.
That is really cool. That is. And I'll tell you, that has been a big driver. I get so crazy about analytics. I love them. I don't understand them as much as I wish that I did. But you just could spend your life, you can make a whole career out of reading analytics. But we get a ton of traffic from the city's website. And I know Brad, one of these days, is going to get the city website hooked up on analytics, and we'll be able to see what the reciprocal traffic is. Okay, so when we're talking about the work that we've done with these partners reaching out to everyone, it's been a lot of fun. I feel kind of guilty. There's nothing better than calling up an event producer who's doing, Chris Bischoff, who's doing King of Wake. He's so excited. And then give him a call and go, hey, we want to promote you even more. What can we do? I mean, those are fun conversations to have. Every event producer that we've worked with this year that's from out of the area has just been truly blown away. They just are so excited because we can help them in the business community. We can help find support for the community, for their event, and we can help get the word out. We can help in all kinds of different ways that really matter to them. I've included in your packets tonight some really great letters of support from those different events producers and some of the partners that we've been able to develop, and I'm really proud of those, and that's a big, good part of our job at the Chamber. One thing I want to point out tonight, a nice little bit of ROI that we were able to get. There's a new event that just happened in Monroe called Oktoberfest, and it didn't happen here in the city. It happened on the county property, which is in the city, obviously. If you scroll down, you can see that just by listing their event, we were able to get a $2,500 sponsorship and drive more traffic to our website. We got huge traffic. People were really interested in this event. They didn't get as much relationship development with the fairgrounds as they had wanted to on their first event, but boy, the Chamber was right there. And this is the same group that does the Folklife Festival, which was really fun. I mean, that's a huge group. And they chose Monroe over Bellingham. And I mean, it was really neck and neck. The crew wanted to go to Bellingham, and this gal, Jody, wanted to come to Monroe. So we were really able to instantly just move in there, get their event on our site. They were more than happy to give us that reciprocal link. We really benefited from that, and that would have been a $2,500 link. See Alaska Airlines. I don't know if you guys got to go to that event, but it was terrific. We really had some good connections, and they're actually going to involve the Chamber in their work retreat about the event, and they're just super excited to have more partnerships with Monroe. They just want to be here. They want to be with us, so we're really excited about that. This is the kind of partnership that we really feel is worthwhile in tourism development, because they're paying for that website. They're investing in optimizing it and putting all that money out there. And when we can hop on and leverage that and get those eyeballs to our events in Monroe, that's really good. Good money spent, I think. So that's been a big part of our strategy this year. It's been link swapping. We're on your visitors tab, City of Monroe. We're also on the Evergreen Speedway. The Monroe Monitor has also put us on theirs. Ben Franklin, of course, and get a lot of traffic to that. And we're Snohomish County Tourism Bureau and Tri Monroe, and I can stand here and go on and on and on. But that's the work we're continuing to do, we'll be doing in 2014 even more. But we don't just work on, you know, online. We're in the real world. We're out there, and we have, we're doing, still doing visitor packets, but really targeted. We know what the event market is. We've worked with the Tourism Sports Commission, and they tell us, hey, we got a bunch of kids, 10 and under, that are coming, families, you know, so we can gear these packets, specific information, to try to drive them to Choose Monroe as a resource. But we also, you know that they need some handheld stuff, too. So we are working offline in that kind of way. We're inviting the events folks to come and actually speak at our lunches. We find that's a really good way to support them. They can kind of talk to our members and tell our members, you know, this is the event. Come to it or participate in it, whatever the case may be. And we've been able to really get some good business support for them as a result of that. We also, and I feel like there's a lot of minutia here I tend to overplay on, sorry. But we're doing things like putting out their media. If there's an announcement about an event, we try to make sure that's in our newsletter. We try to do shout-outs on our Facebook pages, whatever we can do to kind of just put stuff top-of-mind awareness for those events folks. I already went over kind of the some of the features and benefits of the website. We love it that you can find Google Street View on the mobile. You can literally find the front of the building, and you can call the business right through there. You can go right through there to their website when you're looking at Choose Monroe. And we are really excited about the new History Channel show, American Daredevils. Have you guys heard of it? If you're anybody in my group, you're like, oh, not an American Daredevil. Well, American Daredevils is airing on October 22nd on the History Channel. And Mr. Dizzy, a.k.a. Mike Muse, is one of the four stars featured. And I'm going to tell you, the History Channel has put more funding behind this show than any other show. And if you guys take a look at the commercials, which are now running, it's just, I mean, you don't even have to be adventure-minded to be really interested in it. Mike Muse has stepped up to be, he's really passionate about business in Monroe. He really wants to work with us. He's actually just been appointed to our board of directors. He's the real deal. He's really excited about sharing his fame. And one of the things that he did for us yesterday, we all collaborated. We had the Snohomish County Lodging Association, which the chamber has become part of. It's all the hotel general managers and the directors of sales and the convention centers come together once a month, and they have a business meeting, and they have rotating locations where they have lunch. And, you know, I'm so shy and reserved, and, you know, I said, we have to do it in Monroe. So the logical place to do it was at the Speedway. So Doug and Tracy hosted 21 of our, Comcast Arena was there, the Linwood Convention Center was there, all the top hotels, all their salespeople came out, and it hasn't been done in 20 years. These people came out, and it was a little bit rainy, but it wasn't too bad. They came, they had a wonderful lunch, they got to meet Mr. Dizzy, and he kind of talked to them about their stunts, and they were so excited. And then after the lunch, we took them all out to the track, and Doug had arranged to have drag cars, drift cars, I don't know, we had to pull those folks out of there. Mm-hmm. And the big victory of the day was the executive director of the Linwood Convention Center coming up to Doug saying, I have got all the city planners of the state coming for a convention next month, and I didn't know what to do with them. I'm going to bring them here. So it's like, oh, score. That's really what it's all about. So we were really happy to have that happen. And so that's part of getting the word out for us in the group market. We also had a series of meetings this year with our business leaders and our stakeholders to really talk to them about the economic impacts of tourism and what it really means for the local businesses, and what are the opportunities that we can have. Because a lot of times they kind of feel like they sort of know, but they don't exactly know what those impacts are. And it's our fourth largest industry in in the state. It's really, really significant, and it's not all about flower baskets and brochures. It's really solid business decisions and investments. We were able to do some visitor rat cards this year. You guys have those little rat cards. We got those out to, gosh, I don't know, 40 different visitor centers around the area. We distributed 2,500 of them total. We're really, it's a lure, so it's not really meant for people who live here. It's meant to give people a prompt to come here. And it's sort of, we implemented some visual identity pieces to begin sort of moving, developing, extending out that visitor brand with the bright colors, that really active kind of scheme. And we created a map, something we're really proud of. It's been a long time coming. We have those visitor kiosks downtown and out at the fairgrounds. And so it's been a long time since those kiosks were updated, and we were able this year with our lodging tax support to have new maps created, easier to read, much more dynamic, and we have those maps now, and we can reproduce them and use them in a variety of different ways. And that was kind of a big project for us too. We worked a lot with the city folks on that. We have a visitor center. We do actually have a little visitor center too at the Masons Lodge. And we have our offices there, but we are also open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and we have a lot of very local specific visitor information that we are giving to people every day. Most people are finding us online though, and that's exciting. That's much more easy for people to find. And I've included in your packet some analytics, and I don't know how comfortable you all feel with analytics, what they kind of mean. But we're getting visits. I printed these reports as of September 24th. And we're getting visits from 77 countries, not tons, but like the Ukraine. People in the Ukraine, you can look through there and see. The majority of our traffic comes from the United States. Majority of it comes from around the area. But that can be kind of misleading because people, we know that the largest reason for travel is to visit friends and family. So if you're like me, when you have friends and family coming from Minnesota, the first thing you try to do is dig up the tourism stuff in your own area. Places to take them. The only time I ever go to Pike Place Market is when I have family. I know I avoid it at all costs. So, but we're getting, we have a strategic link swap with the Seattle Premium Outlets of all places, but the reason we have that is not to promote them, but to get their Canadian eyeballs. Because they are sort of the travel tourism industry travel agents for the Canadian shoppers, and I know that from my past life in Bothell, and we're already starting to see a ton of traffic come from that just free little link swap, and we know a lot of Canadian visitors want to come out to Monroe. I'm just going to go kind of quickly through the new partnerships that we have spent a lot of time developing and strengthening through the year. Snohomish County Tourism Bureau, Amy Spain. That's the group that does tourism for the whole county. And then the Sports Commission. There's a ton of intersection with that group for us. Tammy Dunn, as Mike knows, she was just in Monroe just yesterday with an events producer showing him around. And so I work a lot with Tammy to help make sure our events are getting what they need and able to help Mike a little bit in that way on our end. And then also new for this year, the Cascade Loop Association. They invited me to be part of their board, and this was huge for us because this is Chelan County, Leavenworth Chamber of Commerce, the Sun Mountain Lodge, Stevens Pass, you know, all the folks that are on the same route that we're on. And to my horror, when I got on the first meeting, they didn't even have like Thai listed in their special places. That's how kind of out of involvement we've been in the past. They didn't even really know about Lake Tai. They had the Speedway and they had the fairgrounds, but that was basically it. And I said, oh, please just let me send you a list. And we were able to get, you know, fishing access points. We were able to get Lake Tai. We were able to, you know, to just make sure that Monroe was really well represented. And this is a group that is got funding and they're working already, and I want to just hop on board with that and leverage that as much as we can for Monroe. As we look, I'm just going to touch on some of the reports and the statistics. If you guys, I don't know, are you even interested in looking at the analytics piece with us? we have it pulled up. And I really just wanted you to see, if you kind of scroll over all those points, they do correspond with events and different things happening. And that shows you how many page views per day. Now, I like to look at page views because I want to see what kind of permeation are we getting when people come onto the site. It's great if they just come to the homepage and then they leave. But I want to see, are they in there? Are they really interacting? And this is for the whole year. And Sheldon, if you can kind of scroll down. You can see what people are searching for. So the number one is homepage. So that's why there's nothing there. So that's where they 19,000 of that 90, almost 100,000 page views went. Things to do, of course, is really popular. We did get a lot of local traffic for the Fair Days Parade. But then our calendar, where we list our events, is very, very popular, as is Go Local. And Stay Here, number 7. That breaks into individual pages, and there's more, you'll see traffic in addition. That's just the main page, but you'll see that the individual hotels also have hundreds of visits on those. And there is, some of our events, our new partner, Promocion Nayarit, has the Mexican Rodeo. Huge traffic, really important event partner for us. That's another one that we've been able to develop this year. The Latino community is so strong here in Monroe, 27%. And we've already got three Latino businesses that are just excited to join the chamber and find representation in the local business community. And if you just kind of scroll down, you can see, you have this sort of in your... and if you click on each one of them, that takes you... kind of, you go down this lovely rabbit hole, which I love to spend an entire day doing. But if you want to show, we can go to the locations. Go over to the side. Just over there. Traffic sources. We are in content right now. If you go up a little bit more on the sidebar, we can go to audience. I had a laser pointer, that one. Just go ahead and click audience, and then you can go to demographics, and then you can go down to location. You're going to have to kind of lift it up. Yeah, and then you can kind of see on the map, and if you hover over the areas, you can start to see where the visitors are coming from. United States. Any place that has blue has people that are looking at Choose Monroe. Maybe only one guy in his basement, but I love those guys. But I'll tell you, it was a solid part of our strategy to abandon the previous URL that we had, which was MonroeWaChamber.org. We all love the chamber, and we're all really interested, and we really support it. But we wanted to go big. We wanted to go Choose Monroe. Forget about the chamber. Forget about any of these individual things. Just check out the community. And that was a really great decision, I think, to make for the community. When you type in things to do in Monroe, Monroe, Washington, we come up on that first page under you guys. You guys are the rock stars. But we do come up on that first page of search results. And this site has only been really live and fully functional for 9 months. So just in August alone, we had 6,500 unique visits, which I created the Explore Bothell website. And that's pretty comparable to what they are getting. and they have a ton of funding behind theirs. And ours has been really on a shoestring budget this year. I'm so proud of this tool, and I'm proud of how it can represent us, and how it can cocoon our events producers with services, help our visitors come a day earlier, stay longer, spend more, support our local businesses, and I just I'm so thrilled too by the way that we can kind of help give back to the city and their investments in us. And that's really when I met with Patsy, Tom, and Kurt over a year ago. I really asked for some good feedback, real solid feedback. And I hope that we've seen improvement, and I hope that it's starting to feel exciting and feel good, and we're starting to kind of pull things around. And I am going to just, if I have any time left, just have you guys, if you have any questions.
Councilmember Lane,
thank you.
I don't have a question, it's more of a comment. Excuse me. At the meeting that we had a little over a year ago, some of the things that concerned me was the lack of kind of a website presence. And I think at the time there was two or three links that just, you know, there was no organization to that whatsoever. The other thing I had always seen was in my, you know, I've only been a council member for a little less than 4 years, but 4 years ago, 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, it always seemed like the chamber and the city just never got together on anything, and they were just two completely separate entities. And that was another thing that I shared. I'm extremely pleased. I don't know that I would have guessed that you would have accomplished all this, but I'm very impressed with the website. I see the chamber and the city working together like I've never seen before, and I'm pretty excited about that. Mr. Sachs has been a key member of that, but I just think that's really encouraging. The colors match, the links are there, it looks cohesive now, and it just didn't look that way before to me, so I want to just congratulate you on that.
Thank you very much. Shelley and I were in that tiny little office all last year just typing in. We've done, a lot of it ourselves to kind of try and cut the cost, and there's so much more that the site can do that we want to build out. There's all kinds of things that it can do. You have to start at the appropriate place, and sometimes identifying in a city as amazing as Monroe with all this opportunity, it can be hard to kind of pull back and go, okay, what makes sense? And traditionally it was to rush out and try and get visitors and get all these brochures and do all this stuff, when really we realized we need to be working with the actual event and group organizers. Those are really the ones that need our help, and that's where a lot of bang for the buck is going to be. Just make sure they know we care, make sure they know we want them here. How can we make our community benefit the most, in the best way possible? And then, if we do that right, the other part follows. The visitors follow because they're coming to these great events. It's the city community.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. I want to echo Councilmember Moon's comments. Amazing how much happened in the last year, just the events alone that you guys have been a part of. I think it's fantastic. Just the integration, like he talked about, is something that really couldn't have imagined, and yet there it is. Your excitement and your invite, just you live it and breathe it, and that's really infectious, and has really rebuilt the chamber, in my opinion, quite frankly, from the rubble. And so I think that, kudos to you and to everyone who's involved with it. I know there's a lot more people that are just here that are involved with it, so love it.
Well, I just want to say again, the Chamber of Commerce for City of Monroe is so important, because we are not like Fleetwood, and we do not have those edges. And I think that's one reason why this little organization has stayed around for 50-plus years. It's important, and we have to put our flag out there, and our tourism office is closed, so it falls to the communities to promote themselves and get their flag up the highest, because we're all kind of competing against each other. And I'm a big proponent of the individual cities, the individual character and story that the city has to tell, and this is an amazing story to tell
I mean, I'm Duncan when I say Harrison Ford. I just so see, with the whip. Really, we were asked, Jeff and I went through this branding questionnaire, and they said, what smoothie star, embodies Monroe for you? And I said, Harrison Ford. We're scrappers.
Is it the council member has commented? Right, Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I just want to echo what's been said. You and the whole team, passion for what you're doing is just inspiring. And the way you've worked together with Mr. Sachs and everyone else, just really neat to see.
It's been good. Yeah, it's been really great to work with Jeff. He's been has talked me off the ledge a couple of times. And also, with Mike and Denise and all of you guys, I really enjoyed it. My whole team has too.
Well, 4 years ago, Anika, you weren't here yet, but we kind of stirred things up a little bit here in the city when we started talking about making some changes in how we brand our city and how we move our city forward. And we looked at our own website, discussed that with the chamber at the time, and as Councilmember Williams alluded to, things were, or Councilmember Gearing, it was rough at times. I would say that I had envisioned at that time something spectacular for both the city and the chamber. And today I would say that both the city and the chamber have exceeded my vision and expectations exponentially beyond measure. And so thank you for all of you, for the passion that you've that you have and the investment that you've made in this partnership with the city to promote, I think, the greatest little town on earth, not to steal a quote or a slogan from Reno. Well, that's the biggest little town on earth. But the adventure does start here and continues with you. Thank you very much.
I would put that back to you as well, because we kind of came with not a lot to offer, and we asked you to stick by us and wait and see and take a chance on this, and it wasn't even a question. Just go do your thing, go do it. And that was really empowering and important, because if we'd felt like that at every turn it would be dire consequences, that would have been very difficult. It would have put a whole other dynamic on the year. But we felt really welcomed and encouraged and supported in this effort. And I know that that's a big reason why we were able to get accomplished what we were able to get accomplished. So.
Well, thank you. And thank you to the board members and the chamber for all your work and support. We've got a great little city here, and you're helping to make it better. So appreciate the presentation.
Remember American Daredevils, October 22nd. You're not going to believe it. It's going to be the biggest thing ever. We're going to say, remember when? Remember the lady? It's really going to be fun, and it's going to so echo the truth of Monroe and all of the spirit here. So looking forward to that.
Great.
Thank you.
If I might ask, I think we have somebody turn on the light. All right, Brad, thank you. Well, thank you again. We are now moving on to the next portion of our meeting, that is comments from citizens. This time is set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to public hearing. We would like to ask that anyone who addresses the council this evening, that you would provide your name and address for the record. Please limit your time to 5 minutes. I do have two individuals who are signed up this evening. I'll begin with Mr. Zach Valspinosa. Excuse me, Valspinosa. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. My name name's Zach Valspinosa, and I'm at, I live at 3812 East McGilver Street in Seattle, 98112. I know I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to chew up a little bit of time, but I just want to say thanks to the city. I'm a commercial real estate broker. I work at a company called Kidder Matthews, and when I started my business and about 17 years ago, the Frylands was all dirt, and I've played a part in facilitating bringing out Canyon Creek Cabinets and Tonkin and now Natural Factors, and a lot of the companies out there. I sold the land to developers, and the city's been really good to work with, and I do a lot of work in the city of Redmond and Kirkland and Bellevue and North Bend and Preston, and doing a lot of industrial type work. And the city of Monroe has been just by far the best city to work with. I think that's important, especially when I'm trying to bring companies from Everett down south. And Monroe is kind of this, you know, in their eyes, this little corner area up there. And it's been really helpful in the chamber too. I mean, this is a huge tool for me to be able to forward on these emails to, or the links to corporations, and have them forward that on to their employees and get them excited about the matter. So I want to point that out. I have kind of just a small issue, but because I do so much work out in Monroe, a few years ago I invested in an apartment building out here, and it has, I gave you guys a letter and some background, and you can take it with you. It's a fairly detailed situation, so I'll just try to touch on it. Follow up later, but the building is currently serviced by a 2-inch line coming from the city, and then there's a 2-inch meter, and beyond that it just kind of spirals out into the 26 different residences, which are units there, into 5/8-inch lines, which service each of the apartments. And the building, the original developer, in return for providing 55 and older and lower income tenants, which is a restriction that was placed on the owner, now it's on the ownership, which I'm part of, in lieu of getting more density, so they could get more density on that site that you could normally build, they put those restrictions on it. So my tenants are 55 and older, lower income, and they love it there. It's a great location, so on and so forth. The issue is sort of a two-part issue. One is this 2-inch line that services the building. The way that the city's code is written is I'm charged a, and I bill back all the utilities to the tenants, by the way, is I charge a, I'm charged a 2-inch hookup 26 different times. And then the sewer is related to that. So each tenant is charged as if it had a 2-inch line to their unit, and really it's a 5/8-inch line. So it's really expensive for the tenants. Which is one thing that, you know, I wanted to bring up, is maybe there's a better way to do that so that they actually get charged for a smaller line. And it's an incremental amount that they would get charged, but it is a benefit. The second part of that, which is related, is the fact that these restrictions force these a demographic, you know, that type of tenant to go there, but they also aren't allowed to apply for the benefits that the city's provided. So the city has thoughtfully provided benefits for seniors and lower income tenants, which I'm accommodating, and but they have no way of actually applying for that and recouping those discounts. So I think there's probably a simple solution there where I can prove documentation and show that they're qualified so that they can get the discounts, or at least have their bill or my bill based on the unit size or the line size be at least reflective of their line. So I realize that this might be coming up soon, and looking at the rates, I know it's not going to be overnight. I've spent some time with Brad and Diane. They've been really helpful, and they said it's a council member issue, so that's why I'm here. So I left you all the information, and if you have any questions, let me know. But it's not as cool for chamber, and I. That is a big deal, because people ask me all the time, like, what do you do in Monroe? What's the housing like, and affordable housing and labor pool? And it's a big deal. So, anyway, that's it.
Thank you very much.
Secondly, this evening, Mr. Eads. Richard.
Well, this is a cool wall, so. My name is Richard Eads. 16951 Curry Road.
I'm here representing the South Monroe Homeowners Association, which is on Curry Road. We've been having issues with theft and car prowls over the last year, and it's just been getting worse. I'm here because these car prowls have been getting worse, and we don't seem to get much response from the police department. When you do call, or when we have called those who get response, no one's available. We're too busy, and the send offs are out to talk to us. But really no resolution if we're trying to get a supervisor or something. I've been told that officers investigate car prowls and burglaries. I've been told detectives, and they're also told that only if it's important, they investigate. So I guess if you get burglarized, that's important, a car prowl. You know, I have a whole lot more I can go through here, and basically what it comes down to is that my citizens, my people in my homeowner association, they call the police department and they get little response. They email the police department about their cases, get no response. I have one homeowner that's called the officer's voicemail, no reply at all. I've stopped by here and talked to people, and it just seems to go into a black hole. What I do have here is several statements or notes from my homeowners that have said what they've issues they've run into. I'll let you read these. I'll leave these with you. So that's kind of our issue, is that we just don't, we see the crime's going up, we don't see much of a response. You get blamed for being the victim most of the time when they come out. Well, why didn't you lock your car? Well, I get my window broken. And actually tonight, my insurance agent's here because she knows. You know, the window gets broken, it's $100 out of your pocket. You got a $1,000 deductible. So anything up to $1,000, you're responsible for. Okay, then the police tell you, well, it's just a property crime. That's, you know, it might be their philosophy, but it's not what people want to hear. And that's what my community's hearing from this police department so far. Like I said, my issue is the police department needs to look at some kind of a property crime patrol. You know, increase patrol, do more investigative work if they need to be trained better on how to do investigations. My car probably just happened. I had a videotape of it. I followed him to the Chevron station. The investigation just wasn't there. No response back from the police department. So that or hire private investigations, you know, CSI to go investigate property crimes. You know, or like I said, the worst, go back to Solis County. Let them do the law enforcement for Monroe. I know it's not the highest issue in the world, but everybody I talk to has had issues with property crimes in Monroe. Nobody's happy with it. It just keeps going up. And something needs to be addressed. And so I have tried to contact the police department, but it just seems to go into a black hole. And that's why I'm here tonight.
Okay? Do you have information?
Yes, I have. This is my homeowner association, and the rim marks are one of the places that have thefts or car prowls or some kind of thefts. And these are the notes from my homeowners that have issues with not getting calls back. One homeowner called 5 o'clock in the morning. They were out to clean up the glass from the car. I guess the officer called back twice, but they couldn't get the phone because they were backing up the glass. The officer didn't show up. So they came to my house, well, no. You know, I'm president of the homeowners association, so I know what's going on. So that should, in my opinion, happen. So that's what I'm here for. Okay? And I'm not sure if my insurance agent, but she's here for, like I said, she knows that the rate's being going up. So, any questions? We good? Okay. And one of the things, that, I'm getting ready to retire, 27 years Seattle Police Department. I know how it's supposed to be investigated. This is not how it's supposed to work.
Thank you. Senator? Well, I figure if I'm here, I might as well say something. Anyhow, well, it's good to see all of you. And, you know, Betsy, 24 years ago, I was on the Planning Commission. I sat right there, so. I don't know about that, but.
I'm not as
up there, if you're
you.
Feeling, you might want to take another answer. But anyhow, I came actually tonight. I'm a member of the chamber, and I'm a member of a number of chambers. But
they're doing a wonderful job, and I'm glad to hear that you know, your support is reciprocated, and I think that's wonderful. And a little bit, I'm not going to say what's going on in Olympia yet, but we'll have an interesting session coming up. But anyhow, point of personal privilege, Mayor, I know that you're retiring, and I wanted to thank you for your service for the community. It's not easy to be an elected official, as someone who's been an elected official for coming up 14 years. It's wonderful to serve your community, and my favorite memories, I learned a lot actually on the Planning Commission here in Monroe, starting right there. I can think of some of the faces, and I think Brad was the only other person here at that time, remember? Brad and I, and Adrian, he'd come and testify in a few things every now and then. Anyhow, I just came to support the chamber, but I wanted to thank you for your service, and thank you all for your consideration for everything they're doing. It's good to hear you're all working together. Thank you. And then before I end, did I do? Oh, you didn't run the time run. Okay. Well, that's great. You know, I should have signed in. I know better, because when people are coming from my committee, I make them sign in. But don't write that in the paper, please. But anyhow, I hope that you all come down, and any issues coming up, I'm going to be having a committee hearing actually up in Mount Vernon October 29th, and open to the public. If you go to my website, you can find more about it. But if we could be of service to let us know, and it's a privilege to serve, live and serve Monroe, and also all of the 39th District. But thank you all for what you do, and thank you for your support of the Chamber. So, have a good evening.
Thank you.
I don't have anyone else signed up at this time, but as Senator Pearson has demonstrated, as always, I'd like to open up the podium still to members of the audience who would like to speak to Council. If there's anyone who would like to address Council on any issue, you may certainly do so at this time. If not, we will move on to our next item in the agenda. I have seen no one else. We will move on. Thank you to those who commented this evening. All right, the consent agenda. Councilmember Geary.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion has been made to approve the consent agenda by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Camp. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does pass. Under new business, always a fun subject to talk about. Tonight we'll have a little bit of a preview of upcoming discussion with regards to the 2014 budget. And Diane, at this time, if you'd like to step forward.
Oh, sure, we talk about the budget and everyone leaves.
Sorry, and they should. There's some exciting things about
it. Yeah. tonight, we're just presenting the preliminary budget to you. So you've got it in your hands and you can see it. If anyone wants, there's copies of it on the table up front here. If anyone wants a copy of it, it's this document here. And I'm just going to quick go over the document itself and show it to you. The actual presentations for the budget will be on October 15th and 22nd. So you'll have to DVR an American Daredevils. So that's when we'll actually get it. I'll do a PowerPoint presentation. We'll actually get into the nuts and bolts and meat of the whole budget and everything. But I just wanted to quick go over the document itself. The very first thing is the budget message. And if you don't look at anything in the budget at all, please, please, please read the budget message, because that's basically gives you the whole thing in a nutshell of what the budget's about, what the changes are. If you just read the budget message, you'll have a pretty good understanding of what all the backup documentation is, because that's kind of like the executive summary of the whole thing. Right after that, there's just a a chart, an organizational chart of our current organization. And after that is the appropriations by fund type. And that just, appropriation is another word for expenditures. That's the expenditures for the 2014 preliminary budget. And it just breaks it out so you can get a feel of, you know, with all our many funds, it's hard to tell what's what. And you can see that it's split into two categories. There's governmental, and I'm on page 7 if anyone's wondering. There's governmental and proprietary. And so you can see it's pretty split evenly between our two functions. And then below that are the sub-functions. The proprietary include all the enterprise funds, which are all the utilities. That's one of our big businesses. It's a $20 million business. And then there's the internal service funds. And then there's all the governmental funds. And so that's just a visual way of seeing the breakdown of my funds, because since we aren't like a private company, we have all these separate little pockets. It's kind of hard to keep track of them. Page 8 is just strictly columnar fashion. You guys have seen this before. Page 9 shows the proposed general fund only revenues and expenditures. You can see we're a sales tax city, followed by utility and property taxes. Those are our three biggies. General fund expenditures, public safety, that's a high priority with us, and we'll put our money where our mouth is. And then on the next page, page 10, this is a summary of the general fund. And this is where you're getting down into the nitty-gritty. And then below that is the contingency fund. The preliminary budget is the very right-hand column. And all the pages following it are each individual fund, each individual department that make up the general fund, followed after that by each individual fund. So all the individual stuff, the following pages, I'm not going to go any further than this, but the rest of the pages are all individual departments or individual funds. But this page 10 has the is the summary of the general fund. And so, and page 11 is for people who like to crunch numbers and like to look at, you know, the expenditures a different way and all of that. But if you're not a numbers person, you'll just gloss over that page. Everyone looks at budgets differently, so I try to present it in different ways. So it's, hopefully some way I'll get it across, because it's kind of confusing. But anyway, that's it in a nutshell. Please read the budget message and then wait for the PowerPoint, and I'll go through the rest of it with the PowerPoint presentation. We're doing general fund and internal service funds on the 15th, and then we're doing the utility and capital funds on the 22nd. And as always, call me, email me if you have any questions. I'm really happy to answer anything. I think knowledge is a good thing. The more you know about the budget, the better. And if you have any questions and all that way, if you have any, you know, you guys are the ones who have to adopt the final budget, so if you want anything changed, it's good to know what's in here so that, you know, you can make any changes that you may want. And I did not put any property tax increase. I finally figured it out, but you guys don't want that. So, besides, the mayor wouldn't go for it. But anyway, so that's it for right now.
Councilor
Gary? I just want to say thank you for this. This is been here almost 6 years. So much more, so much easier to read and go through than ever.
Oh, good.
I really appreciate the work that goes in, and this makes it so much more manageable.
Okay, and if you have any suggestions for future of different ways to present it, so please let me know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Diane, I just wanted to say publicly what I said in my email to you, that I've gone through 4 budgets now, and 3 of the last 3 were with you, and I just wanted to commend you and your staff for the diligence that you take every day in your department, and the work that you've done in helping provide counsel with this with this budget. It's been an extreme pleasure to me. I'm very pleased and proud of what you've accomplished, and I know the citizens of Monroe can too. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so one step back, one step forward. Presentation. presentation of estimated revenues for 2013.
Okay, this is to fulfill an RCW requirement. Part of the budget process, the state requires a presentation on the current year's revenues of how we think they're going to come in compared to budget. And I also, I'm a tree killer, right? Besides an electronic, I gave you each a paperwork because I noticed electronically it's sideways. The front page there, it's the summary. If you go down to city totals, you can see we're estimating revenues to come in at 97% of what was budgeted. So pretty darn good, you know, close enough. And I didn't say close enough for government work. I didn't say that. But if you look at the general fund over on the left there, it's coming in at 105% of budget, which is good. Phew, those are our operations. And basically, you just kind of go down the list and you look for things that are not, you want your revenues to be 100% of your budget, because then you're pretty safe. You look for things that are not. And for instance, the tourism fund is a little under, but there's, that's a situation like the CIP funds where if we don't have the money, we just don't do the project. And so that's okay. Narcotics fund, that doesn't count because that's all private stuff that they do. And we just keep separate bank accounts for them. And the CIP funds are the ones that are hard to gauge because their money comes in the form of grants and in chunks all at once. So a lot of times when they don't meet the 100% mark, it's because of timing differences. And also, if the money doesn't materialize, we just don't do the project. So we would never do projects counting on money coming in. We always wait till we have the money before we do the project. So those aren't as critical. It's mainly the operating funds that you really want to make sure they hit 100%. And in those cases, they do. For instance, the water fund's at 105, the sewer fund's at 105, the stormwater fund's at 101, solid waste is at 100%. So those ones are hitting the 100% marks. So that means we're looking okay. And as far as the things are coming in, it wasn't we're anticipating them to come in. If you go to the next page, I just put the budgeted revenue so you can see where the general fund revenues come from. And like I said before, on the budget, it's mainly sales tax, property tax, and utility tax. So I took those three major revenue sources for our operations. And you can see property tax, we're expecting to come in right on the money. Sales tax is coming in about $100,000 more than what we budgeted, and utility tax are coming in about $100,000 under, so it nets out okay. But it is kind of concerning that utility taxes are going down a little bit. My suspicion is that people are doing cell phones and doing away with landlines, is what I think it's coming down to. Next page, real estate excise tax, and that's the one that I think disappointed me the most of all of our funds. Is I really was expecting this fund to come in strong this year, but it's coming in stronger, but it's $100,000 less than budget, and we're not crawling out of the recession as fast as I would like, and so that's what that's a sign of, because we get that money every time property is transferred. It's happening. These numbers are way up from, you know, 2010, 2011, but it's just not coming up as fast as we anticipated in the budget. The utilities, this graph right below it, that's really nice on the mark. You want your budget to come in just a hair over, you want your revenues to come in just a hair over your budget, and that's what they're doing. They're all doing that. And so that means we budgeted accurately, and they're coming in a little bit more. So that's just a sweet deal. And then the next nine pages are all the details for people who like to look at details. And it's every single line item of revenue that we have on our books. And so if you have any questions as you go through this tonight when you get home, if you have any questions at all, give me a holler, call me, email me. I'm happy to answer any questions. If you want to know what makes up this, what is this, you know, I'm happy to look at anything up. Well, that's it.
Well, Diane, I know that the real estate excess
tax
was not quite as high as the transfer of property. You said it was a little lower, but one very, I think, very good sign is the revenues out of our planning department, where we are at 180% to
echo what was said. However, I never actually made it inside because of the huge line out the door and having to work and then having kids in sports, just didn't have the time. But I did manage to get drenched just trying to get it but it was a great game to see. Also, enjoyed the Friday Night Lights up at the high school last weekend. It was a good time with the community. And got a couple more coming up here. So.
That's right. This weekend against Windville and the following weekend against the Homeless Councilor Hammond.
I almost forgot. That's part of the Booster Club for the music side. I believe the Husky band is turning out this Friday night, so we're expecting to be a big crowd and a lot of fun and a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, both the Husky band and the Monroe High School band are just going to be doing a pregame and a halftime presentation. So,
and we're coordinating the Pizza Fest, Pizza Feeding for the band, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Little Caesars.
Just massive quantity.
Thank you. All right, staff. Jeff, anything to say this evening? Yeah. All right, Paul.
Revenues are way up in our world, and we've been incredibly busy. These are exciting times. A lot of things going on. We're in the midst of litigation around this complaint 2015 update. The consultants will be in town next week for about 3 days doing interviews out in the community. We're going to be bringing you the beginnings of the 2013 comp plan materials here fairly soon. Been doing a lot of work lately on the East Monroe Amendment. We issued a final environmental impact statement just this past Friday. A big step for that process. We'll be hearing more about that. A couple subdivisions underway. Providence, they're wrapping up recently. Natural Factors is working on the list for their certificate of occupancy by the end of October. They've done a tremendous, unimaginable amount of work in that building, but they're
crazy.
Coming to a close, it looks like. What else? Healthy Homes got a couple projects going on both sides of Main Street. Just a lot of activity, and it has not relented. It's becoming relentless, which is a good thing.
We come up there.
A lot is going on. It's been really a great, healthy pace in this community. Good stuff.
Thank you. Deputy Chief?
I'll be highlighting quite a few things next week in the department report, but I did want to add on the Husky band that I understand that they just pick one high school a year, so they're not doing this every week, so it's pretty cool they picked Monroe. And there is a Run for the Arts fundraising walk, run walk at Lake Ty, and actually that's a fundraiser for the students for these different performing arts programs and whatnot, so it's pretty neat stuff.
You were hiding back there. I'm sorry. I didn't see anything this evening.
I do have one thing. Thank you for your proclamation on domestic violence. And I would like to throw out an invitation. We are having a candlelight vigil at St. Mary's Church on October 14th at 7 p.m. We may be one of the only communities that are really doing something big. We feel that our domestic violence victim this year,
just in case you hadn't heard, we did have a water break this morning up on Ingram and Brown Road. So that was the old transmission main that we replaced and turned it into a distribution line. Had a 9-foot crack in it. So quite a bit of water came out at 3:30 in the morning.
So we got that repaired by 10:30. It was back on in operation. So.
All right. City Administrator Braswell, anything to report?
Well, nothing city related, but I did miss a proclamation because I gave my oldest daughter away last weekend. Well, she is now a toy center, so we're happy that we joined our families and they're great group of people, and okay. I'm really happy for them. So. Okay, draft agenda. Your public hearing. We have a public hearing on revenue sources for 2014, including consideration of possible property tax increases. Number two, public hearing regarding increase in city council compensation. We have a consent agenda. And under new business, we have project selection for community development block grant. And the draft agenda for October 15th.
Motion's been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Pettibat to adjourn.